Turn to Matthew chapter 9, please. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to look at some familiar verses about missions, some verses that maybe you have committed to memory. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. Then saith he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the time that our family has to be here at First Baptist Church, and I thank you for the privilege that we have to be here. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have to share with these folks the great spiritual needs in the province of Quebec. I thank you for how you are calling our family to serve you there. Lord, I pray that you would teach us in your word tonight. Help our ears and our hearts to be open to what you would want us to learn. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I don't know how many of you this evening enjoy baking, but my wife, Rebecca, thoroughly enjoys baking. I suppose I said to her one day, "Rebecca, I would like if you would bake those cookies that we call children's favorite cookies." And they shouldn't just be called children's favorites cookies because they're daddy's favorites too. But I'm sure as my wife went about to prepare that cookie batch, that cookie dough, she's very methodical in her approach to cooking, she would probably go about to find the recipe. And she'd probably look through her big binder that she has been transcribing her recipes to, or maybe she would even look in her little recipe box. She'd probably find the recipe and make sure before she started that she had all the correct ingredients and, of course, the correct quantities. And then she would go about adding the ingredients, flour, sugar, eggs, peanut butter, oatmeal, whatever the recipe called for. She'd probably be very careful to put in exactly what the recipe called for, not leaving any out. Forgetting to add a crucial ingredient in that batch of cookies would result in a less than delicious batch of cookies because each ingredient is important to ensure the proper shape, texture, and ultimately taste. I use that as an analogy. In our text today, we find five of the crucial ingredients needed for missions. I've entitled this Five Key Ingredients for Missions. Each of these ingredients that we find in these two verses in the book of Matthew chapter 9 is important for missions. None of them is to be left out. None are to be neglected. Let's examine these five this evening. The first one mentioned in verse 37 is a harvest. I grew up on a farm, and in the community where we come from and where my wife's cousin Mitchell comes from, it's a farming community. And a lot of potatoes are growing. There's a lot of beef farmers, dairy farmers as well. And I enjoy harvest time. I enjoy being involved in the harvest. I grew up more on a dairy farm, but I have worked a little on a potato farm. But I enjoy harvest time. I enjoy seeing the farmers out in the fields with their equipment, harvesting, taking the crops out of the land, whether it be potatoes, whether it be barley, whatever it may be. I enjoy that productive work. Harvest time is a lot of work for farmers, but it's also a time of great accomplishment and great reward. For a cash crop farmer, it's the harvest time that pays his bills. That's his bread and butter for the rest of the year, so to speak. To do the work of missions, the scripture tells us we need a harvest to bring in souls and people that need to hear the gospel. As we look around us each day, we can see that the harvest is already there, waiting to be brought in. Jesus Christ even said this in John chapter 4 and verse 35. He said, "Say not ye, there were yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for there are white already to harvest." There are people all around the world, and yes, even just around the corner, that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. In our text, Jesus calls the harvest plenteous. The people are everywhere. And we need to lift up our eyes to look deliberately for these individuals, to look on purpose. Are we looking for opportunities to bring in God's harvest today? Are we seeing the needs that exist around us each day? A harvest is needed for missions, and the harvest is already ready. Well, the second ingredient for missions is also found in verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Second ingredient for missions is laborers. Laborers are needed in order to bring in God's harvest. During harvest time on a farm, you can always use a second set of hands to help throw the bales of hay or to help sort rocks out of the potatoes. The same is true in the area of missions. The harvest is ready, plenteous, and waiting. But where are the laborers? Where are the workers? Sadly, in our verse, Jesus describes the laborers as few. I had the opportunity to help some missionaries in Japan back in 2001 and 2002, and the year that I was there, they had a bountiful crop of the Fuji apples. The Fuji apples over there that they grow, they're about the size of our grapefruit here. And that year, it was so plenteous, they were needing help to get the apples off the trees in a timely fashion. And as I was there helping, and I had a couple days that I wasn't always as occupied, as busy towards the late fall, some of the farmers asked if I would come and help them pick their apples. And the last time I was picking there, I remember it was, I think, around mid-November, and there was snow on the ground, and we were trudging through about 8 inches of snow, finishing picking the apples. They needed extra laborers because they had so many apples to come off the trees. They needed extra workers to help get them off the trees. The same is true in the spiritual harvest as well. Jesus calls the laborers few. Each of us as believers in Jesus Christ, we have a job that we can do in order to bring in God's harvest. Each of us, we have been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Each of us are needed to share that with those around us who do not know Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4 reminds us that it is a great privilege to know God's plan of salvation, but we need to be sharing that good news with others. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4 says, we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Each of us are needed to share the good news with those around us. Others need to hear this good news as well. I'm reminded of the four lepers back in Elisha's day. In Elisha's day, the city of Samaria was under siege, and you might recall the story with me that there was a great famine in the land. People were starving. People were in great need. And there were four lepers who were outside the city. They decided to go and give themselves up to the enemy, with the idea that maybe they would be able to get some nourishment. Maybe they could get some food. When they came to the enemy's camp, they found that the enemy's camp was completely deserted. God had miraculously caused the enemy to flee. The lepers, they started enjoying the food and the riches that the enemies had left behind. But then they realized in 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse number 7, they said, we do not well, for this is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. You see, they were hoarding for themselves the blessings that could have saved the rest of their helpless fellow citizens back in Samaria. Thankfully, they decide to go and share what they found. They said, now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Well, we as believers in Jesus Christ, we have the greatest news of all. What are we doing with the good news and the good tidings that we have been entrusted with? I find it interesting that those four lepers, they decided to go right to the top. They went right to the king's household. Well, we have a great privilege because we are able to serve the King of Kings. Laborers are desperately needed for missions. The third ingredient is found in verse 38. Verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. The third ingredient is prayer. Prayer truly is a necessary ingredient for the harvest to come in, for souls to be saved. because without prayer, it is merely human individuals who are exerting human effort in an attempt to accomplish God's great work. But as we bathe our efforts in prayer, we can trust in God and trust His power to accomplish His work in the hearts of people. You may ask, what could we pray for in the area of missions? Well, verse 38 of our text gives one request. We can pray for more workers to be involved. According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1, we can pray for those who are already laboring in God's harvest. In 2 Thessalonians 3:1, Paul requests prayer for himself and for others ministering with him when he says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified." Well, another item that we can pray for, along with praying for those who are laboring in the harvest and for more individuals to labor in God's harvest, in the spiritual harvest, we can pray for more people to be saved, to trust Jesus Christ. Paul, his prayer found in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, here it's Paul says, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." We can follow Paul's example and pray for those individuals who have not yet trusted Jesus Christ for salvation. We can also pray for new believers to be growing in their walk with Christ. We have been blessed with two children, our daughter Kelsey, sitting with my wife, and our little boy Keenan, who is just almost a year now. And I find it fascinating, children grow whether you are prepared for them to grow or not. Children are constantly growing. And our daughter, she reminds us that she is getting older. She's now 4 and a half. It was 4, now it's 4 and a half. And soon it's going to be 5, and I suppose soon it will be 12 and 13. But we can pray for individuals to be growing in their walk with Christ. I've heard it said before, in our spiritual walk, you never stand still. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." We can pray for new believers to be growing in their walk with Christ. These are just a few things that we can pray for. Truly, prayer is a crucial ingredient for missions. The fourth ingredient, also found in verse 38, is the Lord of the harvest. And it's crucial that we do not miss this. The Lord of the harvest. We cannot do the work of bringing in the harvest, the spiritual harvest, without the Lord of the harvest. We need to be completely dependent upon Him. He is the one who has made salvation possible for all who will believe, and it's His gospel that has the power to save souls. Truly, He desires the harvest to come in. He desires the harvest to be complete. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4 tells us that He will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And 2 Peter 3:9 states that He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Missions is God's idea. It is God's harvest, not our own. The last ingredient we see is at the end of verse 38, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. I've called this the call. Not only is it God's harvest, but also He is the one who calls and sends out the workers into the harvest field. He is looking for those who are willing to be His workers, willing to labor in His harvest. Some of us God may send to a foreign land. We have met Josh and Julie Mead, who are preparing, or I guess who are in Africa right now, ministering for the Lord in Africa. Others that we have met, of course, our friends the Burls and the Friesens, ministering and preparing to minister in Asia. God hasn't called us to maybe quite as exotic of a place as some others. God is calling us to serve Him in the field in the province of Quebec. Others, just as Pastor Bateman mentioned earlier, God has called you right here. No matter where what or how He calls us to do, let's be ready to respond immediately and answer His call. Let's be faithful to be a testimony for Him wherever we are, wherever we are called to, around the corner or around the world. When He calls, no matter where or what He calls us to do, let's respond immediately and answer His call. I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 8. Turn there with me, please. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 8. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 8. In the first few verses of this chapter in Isaiah, Isaiah had really just gotten a fresh glimpse of God in all His glory. When Isaiah was faced with God's great splendor and his own unworthiness, he was ready and he was waiting to respond when God called him to serve. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" Let's have an accurate view of our great God and an accurate view of our own great unworthiness. And when God calls us, let's be ready to say, just like Isaiah, "Here am I, send me." As we conclude this evening, we have seen five of the key ingredients for missions. Truly, each one is important and not to be left out. First is a harvest. Are we seeing the harvest that exists around us today? Are we looking for souls that need to hear of Jesus Christ? Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've never trusted Him for salvation. I urge you that He wants to have a relationship with you. Secondly, laborers. Are we working in the harvest? Are we busy in God's harvest? What are we doing with the good news that we have been entrusted with? Thirdly, prayer. Are we attempting to accomplish God's work in our own strength and our own power? Or are we receiving His power and His strength to work in and through us? And then fourthly, the Lord of the harvest. Are we completely relying on Him to work in and through us? And lastly was the call. Have we heard His call for service in His harvest fields? And are we being obedient to that call? In what part of God's harvest field has God placed you? I've heard it very wisely said before, we will never be able to honor God in our death unless, first of all, we have honored Him in our life. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Let's pray, and then I'll ask Pastor Bateman to come. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the fact that You are still seeking individuals to follow You. You are still seeking individuals to be involved in Your harvest. Lord, help us today. Help us to be busy in Your harvest. Help us to be seeking the lost, to show them You are the way, the truth, and the life. We thank You and You praise You. Use us, I pray, for Your honor and for Your glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.